This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Wednesday, we are on the other side of the country. We're getting ready for Atlanta United and LAFC tonight, but there's another little piece of news that is kind of getting the conversation going when it comes to MLS and when it comes to soccer in the United States, and it's Lionel Messi going to Inter Miami, which is all but done. I think the announcement from Lionel Messi, actually, according to the reports on TEC in Argentina, could come in this next hour. So we'll keep you posted on anything official out of Miami or out of Lionel Messi. But yeah, it's kind of a crazy day. And Mike, we were watching training yesterday when the news really started to get, I think, serious. You know, the Miami part had come up and it's been serious, don't get me wrong. But when it really started to look like the turn happened from Messi going back to Barcelona, which earlier in the day yesterday had been at least the roadway was cleared for it to happen from La Liga and from Barcelona. But there's so many different things that have to happen on Barcelona's side to be able to register him, to be able to clear the salary on their current roster. And they can't make any guarantees right now. And Lionel Messi was burned before a couple years ago when he went to PSG. Barcelona told him, no, we're going to be able to get everything done. No, we're going to be able to renew your contract. No, we want you here. Everything's going to be good. And then at the last minute, they said, nope, we can't do it. And I think he wanted guarantees very early in the process this time around. Barcelona can't make any guarantees. And it looks like Lionel Messi will be playing in Miami as soon as late July.
And the first MLS team he could face could be Atlanta United if he is in the team in time for League's Cup. And I've seen some reports that he will be. I saw another report that maybe not.
Yeah, seen both.
I'm still in shock, I have to tell you. And it's funny, you're right, we were at UCLA yesterday watching Atlanta United train. Because, by the way, there is an Atlanta United match tonight. And yes. I'm having to remind myself of that. I'm still struggling to process all of this Messi news. But we were at UCLA yesterday watching training, and you know, you kept telling me like, this person's pretty legit, and he's reporting this, and we have this political reporter from South Florida who's got a lot of followers, and she seems to have something. And I just kept thinking, no, something's going to happen here at the 11th hour. It just feels like it's a year or two too soon for this to happen for Messi. And as it turns out, it's not. And I just want to start with this because I think it's been really interesting just kind of polling the reaction in my circle of friends, people who follow me on Twitter, people who interact with me on Twitter, people who I know are very passionate about Atlanta United and MLS. And, you know, someone who I really, really admire and trust a great deal texted me this morning and said, I've had it with MLS. I'm quitting on the league. This is unfair. And, and, I just,
No, it's not. Anybody could have made the signing, but he wanted to go to one city specifically.
Well, I get the sentiment that Miami was underpunished for flagrantly breaking league rules.
No, that's a completely different situation. And well, I've had some people say that too, but these are completely different situations. Yes, they should have been punished with a points deduction then, which would not affect anything with this move today. They should have been punished with maybe what LA Galaxy got with not being able to register players after a certain time. That was one window, and that would have already passed by now as well. I thoroughly disagree, because you don't get to keep an unlimited period of time for a punishment on a team based off things that happened a while ago now, a pretty good while ago now. We're talking about the 2020 season now. This is 2023, and things have passed. And I'm sorry. Like, it's better for the league as a whole. And they didn't change any rules, first off. No. Like, they didn't change anything. They didn't modify anything to allow a Messi move to Miami to happen. There's nothing of – it's not like David Beckham coming, where they did change rules to allow that to happen, which was also massively transformational. They didn't do any of that in this case. And I think if you're looking for something to be mad about MLS with, you're looking too hard and you're missing the point. This is potentially the best player in the world right now. Yes, at 35 years old, right now, coming to Major League Soccer to play, choosing to come to Major League Soccer to play. And it's a big deal. And if you're looking for something to complain about, maybe look in the mirror and stop. Like, it's a big deal.
Well, here's what it does. If MLS lacked any credibility before, domestically or internationally, that goes away immediately now. MLS instantly gains enormous credibility because you have the best player in the world, if you want to even argue that, clearly one of the top three players in the world, if not the best player in the world, still in his prime, and reportedly maybe bringing some of his friends over too, who are still in their primes, by the way, coming to the United States at a time where this country hosts Copa America next year, hosts the World Cup in 3 years, has a new $250 million media deal, which, by the way, you know, now that becomes critical in all of this, and how if Messi can sell Apple subscriptions, he gets a piece of it, which I'm sure will motivate him. But now I think all of a sudden the worldwide TV landscape changes quite a bit when it comes to MLS. Aside, I think the 7:30 kickoffs are probably going to be going away, at least for Inter Miami, because now you've got to find a time where you can get MLS on in Europe at a decent hour. I wouldn't be surprised if you see some Inter Miami kick times move to earlier in the day.
Maybe a few, but maybe not too many, because heat's a thing.
Well, that's true. Good point. But by the way, ESPN looks tremendously short-sighted now for abandoning the league. Fox looks incredibly lucky for keeping a piece of the linear TV deal for pennies on the dollar.
Trying to get more Miami games for sure.
Absolutely. So what this does now is it makes MLS a global conversation piece, as opposed to MLS being the, kind of like in college football terms, the wacky West Coast game that's on at 1 a.m. as you're finishing your night of drinking. Now MLS becomes a league that is going to get a level of coverage globally that it has not had before, and that's going to do nothing but help grow the league. Major League Soccer instantly becomes the best league now in North and Central America. And with apologies to Lyon and what they did just down the street here in LA to LAFC a couple weeks ago, this makes MLS unquestionably the best league in the Confederation, unquestionably. Now it's Mexico who I think has to be incentivized to try to do more to tie into Major League Soccer, not the reverse. So it completely shifts the global paradigm when it comes to MLS. And the other thing this does now is, quite frankly, I think it throws a lifeline to some smaller clubs who might be having some attendance problems, quite frankly. You know, if Dallas has had trouble drawing, or Houston has had trouble drawing, or, you know, Chicago's had trouble drawing, just wait until Messi comes to town. I think this is probably going to force the league to review the way that it schedules, you know, where now you're going to have to find a way where Messi's going to have to play against everyone every year. So do you go to a divisional scheduling format and structure it in such a way where you're guaranteed to play every team every year at least once? I think you have to do that. But, you know, I'm kind of going in a bunch of different directions. I think my main point is this. This is one of the biggest moments, if not the biggest moment, in the history of Major League Soccer. And all 29 clubs will benefit immensely from this, not just one. And I think that's really, really important to keep in mind. Yeah, I mean, am I thrilled about having to play Messi twice a year and Tata Martino might be his coach and he might be Joseph Martinez's teammate? Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a bummer from an Atlanta standpoint. But imagine that atmosphere on September 16th when Inter Miami with Lionel Messi comes to Mercedes and possibly Tata comes to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It is going to be, next to the MLS Cup final, the biggest soccer happening in the history of our city. And let's dispense with another canard narrative that's out there this morning all over Twitter. Stop it with the, no, he's not going to play in Atlanta because he's not going to play on turf. Okay, there's been only one player in the history of this league that has outright refused to play on turf. He's no longer in the league, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. If Major League Soccer and Inter Miami and Apple and Adidas are making this kind of investment in Lionel Messi, I am certain that they are not going to want a situation where Messi is not playing in the four largest stadiums in this league because they have turf. That's absolutely
absurd. Yeah, you got to understand something about Lionel Messi as well. And even at this point in his career, he is someone that Pep Guardiola said back during his time at Barcelona, he learned really fast. You don't leave Messi out. You don't leave him out of games. You don't sub him out of games. You don't do that because he's just insane when it comes to his competitive drive. And he wants to play every minute. He wants to be involved. Yes, he will, I think, barring injury, play in these stadiums with turf. Does it open up a larger conversation about turf? Yeah, it could in the long run, but that's different. Right now, I think this is a signing. It's going to get compared to David Beckham, and it should, because that was a signing that took a league that had 5 years previous had to contract two teams because they didn't have the right ownership in a couple of markets. They weren't set up with the foundation to grow from, and they did. They made that move. They contracted two teams, one in Miami, because you had an owner who wasn't the right owner. You had Tampa Bay Mutiny at that time who didn't have an owner. Right move. It solidified things, and then you were able to add Real Salt Lake, and you were able to add Chivas USA at the time, which was a gamble, but a gamble you needed to take at that time. You added Toronto, which was a big step in the right direction. You went back to San Jose in 2008, right after this. So you were in a situation when you added David Beckham that took the league forward. This is a move that, when we were talking about this a couple of years ago, I said this was the summer that it could possibly happen. It would not happen before this because everything was based on the World Cup in 2022 for Messi. He wanted to finish his Argentina time at that time, which is what it looked like, which has changed now because he's been able to maintain his form. But he wanted to push everything into trying to win in 2022, and he did. And it's extended his career in a lot of great ways and extended his influence in a lot of great ways. This is a move that, yeah, you do give up part of your TV broadcasting subscriptions when it comes to Apple to get a deal like this done. You do a deal with Adidas, and Adidas has its own lifetime deal with Lionel Messi. Reportedly, according to The Athletic, where if they increase their sales with, I guess, MLS related things to after Messi comes, then he's going to get a cut of that. Okay, that's fine. When you add somebody like Pelé in the old NASL, and you add somebody like Beckham in the right time for the league to do it then, and you add somebody like Messi, which is this is the right time to do it now, you have a league that is poised to become one of the top five leagues in the world. And yeah, I didn't say it is right now. Don't misquote me. It's poised to get there. You have a World Cup coming in 26. You have the growth that is happening in this league in terms of quality, in terms of business, and you add someone like Messi that's going to accelerate everything. It's a really fun time to be involved in the game. And he is going to get a level of attention that we haven't seen in this league, and a level of maybe intensity in the attention that we haven't seen in this league. Beckham was a different force for the league, and he absolutely was. And anybody who's going to try to downplay that is frankly incorrect. I remember where I was when that signing became real. It was really before the days of Twitter and social media, but I was at the NSCAA convention, the largest soccer convention in the country, because it was in January where it became a real deal, and everything stopped to talk about it. When he did Good Morning America, everything stopped in the soccer world. It's a different world today, but this is the kind of move that general sports people will have takes on. This is the kind of player that general sports people say, oh, I know that name. I just watched the World Cup. I know him. Yeah, I want to go see him. Yes, I will pay money to buy that ticket. And this is the kind of move that then in South America gets attention, around the world gets attention. It has the potential. It doesn't do it by itself. And this is something that I think the league office knows about, and they're not stupid. These are not dummies running this league, but they know that this move by itself doesn't change the paradigm for the league. It opens the door to changing the paradigm for the league, and they have to take full advantage of it, because you're going to have people, and whether, like you mentioned, a Dallas or a Houston, you're going to have people who go to those games because of Lionel Messi. They have to leave there knowing that, hey, I might want to become a fan of my local team too. And that's the next step. And that's something that MLS has to be really careful about and really smart about. And all the teams around the league have to be really smart about that as well. It's going to be a fun time, because this is going to get these games and this talk and these conversations, and guys like Luis Suarez, that name's already come up. Angel Di Maria, that name's already come up. Sergio Busquets, Jordi Alba, those names have come up, and they'd been there for a minute when it came to Miami. It's going to get a level of attention and excitement and buzz that we have not seen in this league before. And Atlanta United could be right there at the front of it with that League's Cup game. There's been reports that his first game would be the League's Cup match against Cruz Azul that opens the group that Atlanta United's in. And the second game would be against Atlanta United. And then Atlanta United would come back home to play Cruz Azul in the third game of the group. So things could get really, really interesting, not just from an MLS perspective, but also tangentially through Atlanta United as well. And it's going to be a lot of fun to talk about and follow.
So I'm going to throw a hot take out there.
Oh, boy.
I want to see how you react to it and how the Twitch pitch will react to it. Messi will come in and instantly be the best player in the league. But I think there's going to be a surprise in how competitive the league is against Messi.
No, that's fine. I think in terms of sheer talent, yeah, he'll come in and be the best player in the league. But the league, and we've seen it firsthand at times when you talk about somebody like Thiago Almada, who is one of the most talented players in the league right now and still will be. You have a different type of defending. You have a different type of play, a different type of way the game is refereed. You have a lot of different things that are going to be used to try to nullify that talent from Lionel Messi. So it's going to be really interesting to watch how teams try to defend him and how he adjusts to the league as well. And that adjustment period is a real thing. He's not going to walk in and just have hat tricks every game. That's not going to happen.
No way.
He's going to get defended in some ways that are different than he's accustomed to. He's going to get defended by some guys who are faster or stronger and are going to make life difficult for him. he's going to find a way to be impactful, and he's going to find a way to lift a Miami team that frankly needs it, but he can't do it by himself. And the more he has to do it by himself, the more he'll find that it's not simple to walk through. And I think that's the element for MLS that is attractive to somebody like Lionel Messi, because yeah, reportedly there was $1.2 billion on the table from the Saudi Arabian League. That league's not competitive, and it's not a strong league top to bottom. It's dominated by a few teams, and they're very top heavy in terms of talent. MLS can be top heavy in terms of talent on a roster, but it's not the same. The league is more competitive. The games are more challenging. And for someone who now in Messi, who is looking to 2024 Copa America in this country and looking to potentially a 2026 World Cup where he tries to defend the title with Argentina, which would have never guessed that would have been possible 2 years ago. Now that's possible, and he will be kept at a higher level by coming here than going to chase the money in Saudi Arabia. And it's a good thing for the league that he's going to be part of this journey that MLS will take over the next few years to get to 26. And Messi will help accelerate things very quickly for this league.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We have, I think, a ton of great questions and reactions on the Twitch pitch, because there are a lot of, you know, layers to this onion that we can peel away. Yeah. And I'd love to get into that if you're okay
Let's do it.
Couple minutes, because, you know, as Emilio Corsi brings up, and this is something I kind of talked about on Twitter a little bit today. Now, do the roster rules get updated? Is this the trigger now for the league to maybe soften things a little bit when it comes to wage bills and salary caps and things like that? Does it put the league in a position now where the small clubs who have been resistant to, you know, expanding and lightening the salary rules, does it put them in a position now where, hey, you've got to get on board or you're going to get left behind? What happens now with Messi? Do you see a situation where this dramatically changes the roster rules in MLS, keeping in mind, too, if Busquets wants to play for Miami, I would imagine he would have to be brought in at a designated player level as well.
Maybe. He might be one that's right at that TAM deal. An illegal TAM deal. I know we're talking about Miami, but a legit TAM deal, you might be able to get Busquets on. But then if you start talking Di Maria and Luis Suarez, then it starts to get complicated. Look, I think you need to have that conversation if you are the competition committee in Major League Soccer. The league has grown to a point that it's at because of the rules that it has. And that needs to be understood. And the idea that just everything's been holding MLS back, frankly, it's not true. Because the league, when it started, would not have started if you didn't have the restrictions on spending that were there. And to understand why it's the way now, you have to know that. And you have to understand that as fact. Because you were, when MLS started, just attracting investment. You're talking 1994, 1995. You were 10 years off of the death of the North American Soccer League. Mm-hmm. The North American Soccer League had its moment, kind of like this, but very different because you had no platform for success underneath it, when they signed Pelé in 1975. When Pelé came to the NASL, everybody tried to go find their own Pelé. And spending went nuts. And you didn't have a foundation for any success or growth or anything. It blew up and it blew out really, really fast. When MLS started, you had people that you would say, hey, we're with Major League Soccer. We're here to attract your investment. We need you to cut a check of $5 million to come into the league. That's what it was. I'm not kidding. $5 million. That's all we need from you. No way. I'm not blowing $5 million on this pro soccer thing. It just went folded a decade ago because people spent like crazy. Well, okay, Mr. Rich Man, what if we sit down with you and we say, we're going to keep spending to these limits. We're going to do these things. We're going to have a salary cap like this. Oh, okay. Well, maybe we can talk then. And Lamar Hunt's one of those people that had that conversation. So that's why the league has the limits that it does, which have grown over the years. And then you added designated players because you could sign David Beckham in 2007. And you had guys that were making more than the max before that. And you had things that were grandfathered in. And you had to stretch things to go get a Landon Donovan to come back from Germany and sign other guys at right times and right places. Jorge Campos, I think, got a Ferrari. I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff. So the league being structured the way it is could do those things and then could change the rules to get a David Beckham and other guys who came after that, Thierry Henry and others. Well, now you probably need to have that rethink because it's time. Do you just get rid of everything? No, you don't, because part of what is attractive about MLS is the competitive nature of it and is the parity. But you do need to have within that idea of we want to give everybody a chance to win because that makes the league more compelling. You do need the ability to go sign massive global superstars. And do you add another designated player? I mean, we could sit down and rewrite the rules right now, and it doesn't mean it would work or not. I think everything has to be on the table. Do you add more designated players? Do you just increase the cap and get rid of designated players? You know, what do you do about spark investment in U22 players, like you have the U22 initiative? There's a million different things you could do right now. But yes, I do think it will create a conversation about, well, this just happened and we have the World Cup coming and we have Copa America coming. We should spend more on the rosters. How do we get there and how do we want to get there? That needs to be a conversation had right now in the WhatsApp chat for the MLS competition committee.
Bobby Blackwolf, like me, amused now because ESPN is going to have to suddenly re-acknowledge MLS's existence. And it is funny. Oops. ESPN is tweeting about it today from its verified ESPN account. So,
oopsie.
You know, it happens. And, you know, ESPN, I had a feeling they would do this when they declined to continue with MLS rights. They did the same thing with MLS that they did with NASCAR and the NHL. When they lost rights to those, they just denied its existence, and now they're going to have to come back to the table, which I do think is kind of amusing.
It's funny. They've been twisted in the wind twice because of Lionel Messi, because they paid up to get the La Liga rights when Barcelona blew it and couldn't keep him, and he left, and then those rights weren't worth what they paid for. And then they let MLS walk and they don't get into that conversation. And now they're worth a whole lot more than they were before.
All right. So Chris Kilroy asked a question. I've asked Garth Lagerwey about this. We were even talking about this on the plane on Monday. where's Inter Miami going to play? because Drive Pink is, I mean, the demand is going to way, way outstrip the inventory at Drive Pink. It's about a 15,000 seat stadium. It's a perfectly adequate facility, by the way. For a temporary stadium, it's absolutely fine.
I actually like it.
Yeah, but you've got an issue with Hard Rock, and I was looking at this today. A lot of people forget that the University of Miami has a lease with Hard Rock for their Saturday college football games, and Inter Miami has some Saturday dates that might not be available at Drive Pink Stadium, and of course you have Dolphins games on Sunday. So I'm going to be fascinated to see what Inter Miami does now going forward, because it feels like they can't continue at Drive Pink Stadium, but they might actually have to, unless there's another option that is just not apparent to us. I think Marlins Stadium would not be adequate.
No.
The stadium they have in Boca Raton for Florida Atlantic would not be adequate. The stadium they have in South Dade for Florida International would not be adequate. Like, you're kind of...
The one at Florida International gets you up to 20,000, just if people are asking about it. The Miami FC and USL Championship has the rights there, but I don't know if they're exclusive.
Sure, they can work out a deal.
Yeah, I'm sure. FAU Stadium in Boca, what does that get you to?
About 25,000, 30,000.
Yeah, it's got it listed as 30. So, I mean, a little bit of a difference. I think it's going to be a little piecemeal. And look, this is just the nature of it. And there are teams in the world outside of MLS who do have kind of two stadiums where they play big games in one that might be like the city stadium or the municipal stadium, and they play their usual games in other places. Miami's going to play games at Drive Pink. They're going to have to. They're not going to be able to move everything. And it doesn't make sense to really move. I mean, unless you go to FAU for a game or two to get to 30, I think you're going to look to get high-profile games into Hard Rock where you can. Now, next year, and one thing about this deal, and I have seen it reported from a good source. I don't know if it's accurate or not. That this would be essentially a rolling deal. It's 3 years in total, but there's an out after every year, which is typical for what Messi did at Barcelona. It's nothing new for him there. You basically revisit the terms, and it's a situation where, look, if you quadruple your Apple subscription sales because of Messi, he might come back and say, yeah, I'm happy to continue and play another year, but we're going to bump that percentage up because look at what I just did for you. It creates that opening. So I think when you look at the long term, you're looking at this year might just have to be piecemeal. Mm-hmm. Next year, you're going to want to play as many games at Hard Rock as possible. It's just good business. It's intelligent. You're going to schedule to have big games at big high profile times to be able to play at Hard Rock. And maybe it accelerates the movement on your own stadium, which they want to get done as fast as possible.
No question.
They've made progress there. I mean, it's going to happen. It's just now you've got to jump through all these little hoops that you have to do to get it done. They're really going to hit the gas on that. And I think that's going to be something that is a benefit from Messi being there. It's just being able to push that harder.
They might have to go back to the drawing table a little bit on those plans, though, because if I remember correctly, I think their new stadium was only going to be about 20,000.
20 to 25, if I remember right. But yeah, I think you're going to want to boost that. But the question is, can you get it built in time for him to play in there? And you just don't know necessarily. So
if they got it approved quickly and they got I think the issue there is the site preparation, and you have to kind of mow down a golf course and level everything. Yep. But you can build something very, very quickly. In fact, Lockhart, where they play now, I mean, they went from nothing to fully functional in about 8 months. So you could get it done pretty quickly down there in South Florida, but it's a fascinating question. My God, again, like I'm trying to think of you and I doing a Leagues Cup game at Drive Pink where Messi might be playing, and just the absolute circus that might present.
It'll be interesting to see if we would be able to find a booth for that one.
Well, they'll find something for us. That's one thing I want to make very clear. For the people who have been covering this league for years, accommodations better be made for the people who have been with this league for a long time, as opposed to all the the people who are going to parachute into this, but that's just me being selfish. Got a couple questions on the Twitch pitch about, does this change MLS now from being a selling league to being a buying league?
No, I think it's a league, and I think every league needs to do both, and that's a good thing. I mean, one, this move is a move you make if you've decided not, if you make a league rule to say we're not going to spend more than $5 million on a transfer period, nobody can do it. Oh, Lionel Messi can come? Yeah, if we need to spend it on transfer, we'll do it. Like, this is a move that you do no matter what. I don't think it changes anything. One, he's out of contract, so you're not buying necessarily. You're just signing a free agent. Two, the league needs to have superstars in it. And sometimes those superstars are going to be 30 plus, and that's okay. You can't only get those players. That's the difference. And that's the difference. You want to go back to the old NASL. That's the difference maybe in the early-ish days of the league where you needed superstars and you needed guys that were a little bit older and established names. Those players have had an impact, and it's okay to go get them. But you have to have balance. You have to create your own stars, which MLS is in a position to do more than it's ever done before. It's done it in Atlanta, and we saw it firsthand with guys like Joseph Martinez, Miguel Almiron, who were not superstars when they walked in the door. And they became superstars. But then you're also seeing a Caleb Wiley in his emergence, a Miles Robinson in his emergence, Alphonso Davies in Vancouver, his emergence and eventual move. You have to have all of those different categories. But you can't say no to Lionel Messi because you don't want to be looked at as a buying league or a retirement league or whatever other cliche somebody's going to throw at you. You go get Messi and you just don't forget about all the other categories of player acquisition and development. The development side is a big part of it. And what I would be stressing out of this, if I'm at the league level and I'm messaging things, is I would be stressing to every young soccer player in this country, and I'm talking like 5 to 10 years old, hey, look at how much money this guy's going to get coming into this league. You can want to be a professional soccer player. You need to look at this. Like, we talk about it in other sports, and the amount of money people can make, it's a driving factor in players going into football, players going into basketball, players going into baseball. Well, that needs to be the conversation here, because that's never been the conversation in the United States. That you can be not just make a nice living playing professional soccer, but you can get rich playing professional soccer. And that needs to be part of this, because you now have the infrastructure to develop the talent that can come from that conversation. And if you're a parent out there and you've got a young kid, well, there's nothing in the water that was special in Rosario that made Messi Messi. It's the environment, it's the culture, it's the instruction that he got at a young age, and just born with an incredible talent that not many people are. But you can become a professional soccer player, and yeah, salaries go up. That's a good thing for that development side of things. I'd be selling the hell out of that.
Absolutely. I want to pause the Messi discussion just for 10 seconds because Shiva had a question and I want to make sure I answer. It's not related to Messi. She wants to know, is Atlanta United flying back tonight or tomorrow? She's worried that with a match on Saturday, you'd only have one day back in town. Shiva, they are going to fly back tomorrow, but they're going to train tomorrow afternoon upon arrival, really more of a regen. This is something that you're seeing a lot now in the NBA. Teams that play on the West Coast will stay in their West Coast city overnight because the trainers feel, the physios feel that you can get a better night's sleep on a hotel bed as opposed to on a plane. You fly back the next day with a full night's sleep, and that actually opens the door then for you to practice, or in soccer terms, train the next day. So I would not be overly concerned about that. But I did want to answer your question because we're on Messi watch right now. And according to Niall and Fabrizio Romano, I guess there's going to be a press conference within the next 15 minutes involving Messi. So we'll stay on. We're getting a lot of questions and really, really good points and comments about Messi. So we'll stay on for all this. And we are going to talk about why we're here in LA, which is,
yes,
Atlanta United is playing tonight against the defending MLS Cup champions. I know that's easy to forget. Christopher wants to know, does this make Miami a playoff team this year?
By itself, I don't think so. They've got to solve the holding midfield. When Gregory got hurt, that was the biggest issue that they were going to have this season. It's not going to be the only move, though. So, I mean, if you look at this signing and you understand, okay, they're going to add some other guys too, yeah, it puts them in that conversation. And it makes the Eastern Conference even more competitive. And it gets really interesting because there's a lot of ground to make up. But you're going to have one of the best players in the world to be able to do that. So it's going to get really fascinating in the East.
Seeing a conversation here between a couple people on the Twitch pitch, and I think Almada Flo brought this up, quoting the haters, not because he feels this way, but if I'm reading it correctly, I think he fears that this could strengthen the counter-argument against MLS, that it remains a retirement league. I think some others on the Twitch pitch have more correctly pointed out that if you want to talk about retirement leagues, that would be China or Saudi Arabia right now.
Yes, China's not even in the conversation anymore at this point.
Yeah, but it's just your reaction to that, because I'm sure there are probably going to be, I don't want to like name names, but people who don't cover soccer and don't understand Major League Soccer, but cover sports in this country, who may lazily throw out the retirement league narrative again.
There are soccer people who will throw out that lazy narrative as well, because let me start on that side. There are soccer people in the United States that if MLS breathes, they will say, oh no, that's they didn't do that correctly. That's wrong. It's stupid. It's categorically stupid. And anybody who is involved in the business of soccer in the United States who doesn't understand that MLS success is a good thing for everybody doesn't understand life in general. It's just literally that stupid. Anybody who doesn't follow soccer, who sees a move like this and wants to throw out that kind of a narrative, should probably educate themselves. This is a transformational move. Lionel Messi is up for debate. It's definitely up for debate, and it's hard to compare eras, but Lionel Messi is in the conversation as one of the best to do it ever in his sport, period. You bring those players in when you can. You flat out do. He's in the conversation as one of the best players currently playing right now.
Yes.
He's that good. You look at what he did this season at PSG, and it ranked among the best attacking seasons in the last 15 years among top five leagues in Europe. That's real. These are real numbers. So you go get a player like that. I don't care about his age. When you see the impact that he has on a community, on a society, on people wanting to buy these tickets, you go get that player. People will argue anything, and I think you have to be careful about listening to stupid arguments. It's not worth your time. It's not worth the time. It's not a reason to not do something. You do the right move.
Here's where it starts and ends with me. I mean, this is a 10-second conversation. Lionel Messi, 7 months ago, won the Golden Ball at the World Cup. Mm-hmm. He was the best player in the best tournament against the best players in the world 7 months ago. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about Major League Soccer and how it was justifiably a big deal that Major League Soccer has a active player in Thiago Almada who won a World Cup in the most recent tournament. And that is a huge, huge deal. Thiago Almada played 8 minutes of the World Cup, I want to say, maybe a little bit more. In one match as a sub. Now you're bringing in the player who won the MVP for the whole tournament. It's a big deal. I understand where, you know, there have been numerous instances, Thierry Henry, David Villa, even to an extent Beckham, although I don't think that's quite the same, but a lot of high profile players who came over here in the twilight of their career, way past their prime. Lionel Messi, despite his advanced age, is still very much in his prime. And we were talking about this last night when we came back from Topgolf. How many more years of prime football is left in the tank for Lionel Messi? I think at least five. I really strongly believe that, at least five. But again, I'll go back to what I said at the very beginning of the show, and we're holding for time a little bit because Messi is about to start a press conference, and we're going to stay on for all of that and see if we can transmit any details to you. But I do think Messi is going to be surprised. Maybe he won't be surprised. Maybe it'll just be observers who will be surprised at the level of competition that he is going to face in this league. And someone brought up, you know, how's Messi going to deal with being fouled all the time tactically? Well, my response
he's dealt
to
with
that is he's used to that.
He's been there and done that. Yes. Yeah. Julian Carranza, who is at Philadelphia now, but was formerly with Miami, he spoke on Teise in Argentina. And he said it won't be easy for Messi in MLS, even though he's the best in the world. He said it's a very physical league. He also talked about just the excitement of having somebody like that in the league. Carranza from Argentina gets this at a different level than maybe some do. It's insane. It's insane that this happens. And it's so cool if you've been around this league to have this kind of a day because everything is changing. You've got reports right now that Tata Martino to Miami is all but done, and that's going to happen. You've got reports. You talk about the spinoff effect. You got reports from Tom Bogert that Real Salt Lake is going to go to Pachuca and sign Chicho Arango, who was here with LAFC, who maybe they should have kept, and they didn't. And they don't win the CONCACAF Champions League, soon to be the CONCACAF Champions Cup. And RSL is going to go break their record transfer fee outlay to go get Chicho Arango and bring him back in the summer. Over $6 million, you would expect. That's what Pachuca paid. So, I mean, you're going to get a lot of spinoff effect from this. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it really, really is. A lot of people are asking, where is the presser? Honestly, I don't know. I don't even really know if it's true that he's having a presser.
Yeah, there was some reports that Sport magazine newspaper out of Barcelona has an interview with him in the next 15 minutes, less than that now. They had tweeted that out. I don't know if he's going to do a presser or basically do a statement there. Go ahead.
I would think it would be a statement. There's not going to be a press conference until he comes to Miami, in my opinion. And it's going to be an absolute circus. I mean, the league has to do everything it can to get that event as widespread coverage as they possibly can. It's not going to be a situation where something leaks out of a third-party source from a non-US-based news outlet. Like it'll be an absolute carnival when they have the actual announcement and press conference.
When they have I don't think it's going to follow normal protocols in this. I mean, it's going to be official here very quickly. You're going to have a welcoming event basically for him is what will happen when he is able to come to Miami. And that's probably going to be after these Argentina games in Asia that are coming up that Thiago Almada will be part of the squad with. It looks like in about 5 minutes, it's going to happen. The reason why it might happen via a Barcelona outlet is Lionel Messi wanted to go back to Barcelona. And that needs to be understood in how all of this played out. He loves that club. He was there from years before he broke through as a professional. They did things for him and his life that nobody else could ever do. He wanted to go back there. He wanted to end his time there the right way after they honestly screwed everything up and kind of pushed him out the door. And it was handled very badly. He wanted to go back there even after that with the same people running the club now that screwed it up before. According to some things that are starting to come out from sources close to the family, they kind of strung him along again. And he has been talking to them for a while about wanting to make this happen, what he would want, how it would get done. And they're like, yeah, we can make everything happen. Yeah, we can make everything happen. It wasn't until yesterday that things got approved by La Liga for even a pathway to it, let alone like doing it. And you can't just do it because they've got to get rid of players to be able to do it. And there is no talk about them getting rid of players. There's no talk about any of that. And Messi's camp, and this is, again, it's all reporting right now, and there'll probably be more from it, is very upset about it and very upset about the way Barcelona has treated him a second time. And to the point that you've seen some people out of Barcelona and you've had some stories planted, which wouldn't be the first time from that club, about, well, it was Messi's decision to come or not come. It's all on him. And I think he wants to get out in front of that. And his statement will probably be along those lines of, I tried to make it happen for a club that I love very much, and they couldn't get it done for this to happen. So I have to go play elsewhere because they can't guarantee me that they can even register me as a player. And I think that's what the statement is going to be and what needs to be from his end, because I don't think he wants people in Barcelona to think that he strung the club along or he doesn't want to go back there. He did, but they can't make it happen because that club's been run so poorly for so many years that their finances are a wreck.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, well, I'm keeping an eye on Twitter. I'm keeping an eye on a bunch of different things here. While we wait for whatever is happening, can we maybe pivot for a moment to the other thing going on today?
Yes, we can.
You know, isn't this kind of funny? Like, we were on the West Coast in 2018 getting ready for Five Stripes After Dark when it was for a much less happy reason, but we were kind of just glued to our phones all day because we were in San Jose out on the West Coast waiting a very late kickoff time at the team hotel when the rumors really started to circulate about Tata Martino leaving Atlanta United. We're just kind of sitting around just processing this all day. And then we had to go do a match that night. It ended up being a pretty wild match.
Yeah, it did.
LAFC tonight. Christopher wants to know, do we know how many minutes we're going to get from Giakoumakis tonight? And can Atlanta United take anything away from watching LAFC and Lyon? I'll answer the first part. I think with Giakoumakis, keep something in mind. Pineda has got to be very, very careful about going for the 3 points tonight, but also remembering you've got a home match coming up in 72 hours. So I would imagine for players who are dealing with stuff right now or have recently dealt with stuff. And Giakoumakis would be in that discussion. Probably Ibarra, to an extent, would be in that discussion. I think he's going to be very, very careful to not use them for 90 minutes unless absolutely necessary. I think that, and you know, quite frankly, last week, using him for 87 minutes against New England, I don't think was in the plan, but it was something he had to do because it was necessary. I think they would much rather not use him for 90 minutes tonight if they can avoid it.
Yeah, he's not. He doesn't have 180 minutes in him for two games this week. He doesn't. I don't know where the numbers fall. I would say 60 is probably a reasonable estimate of the plan. And the more you go past that, the more you potentially affect his availability for Saturday. And look, that's a has to be a factor here. I think Ibarra is a lot closer to being good, and you don't have to worry about that. And you don't have Santiago Sosa tonight either, lingering ankle issue for him. So you might have to go further with Ibarra than that. I think he's okay to do it. Giakoumakis, I think 60 is your target number that you're shooting for. And you'd love to be in a position to where you can pull him out at 60 and be comfortable.
And then as far as part two of that question, I know Steve Cherundolo said yesterday that, you know, LAFC was going to be shorthanded tonight. That's not a surprise. But he said something that I don't want to downplay this because I've seen this all the time doing Hawks games. You go into a game and you're going to face a lot of maybe backups, reserves, younger guys. And they're out there trying to prove a point. And it's an opportunity for them at home playing against a good side for them to prove that point. And I got the sense in visiting with Pineda earlier this week and just being around the team over the last 48 hours, LAFC might not be totally first choice tonight, but I think Atlanta United is going into this match with the mindset that LAFC is going to be first choice tonight. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, because I don't think the style of play changes. And that's the thing about LAFC that has allowed them to be good in MLS this season, even with chasing CONCACAF Champions League. They play the same way. It might not be the same faces, but they do have good depth. I really like somebody like Stipe Buick, who is a really talented young player. They've got some homegrowns who are starting to emerge who might be in the team tonight. Torres, Dueñas. It's a weird one because you don't know exactly who you're going to see, but you know how they're going to play. So you can adjust for that and you can create a game plan to come in and understand how LAFC is going to want to play. They've been really good on the counter this season. They're having less than 50% of the ball. Like, under Cherundolo, things have evolved a little bit from the old Bob Bradley days where they wanted to dominate possession. They're far more comfortable playing off of the ball now. But will they have enough defensively to make that side of it work against a really good attack in Atlanta United? Aaron Long has to be at least seriously in question for this match after his injury in the second leg of the CONCACAF Champions League final. Chiellini has to be under consideration to be questionable here because he's just not able to play a whole lot of minutes right now. That defense looks different without figures like that in it. So nothing changes about the way they play. Maybe their effectiveness changes as they get deeper into the bench, but Atlanta United has to prepare to see their best team and then deal with whatever changes might come when that lineup sheet comes out an hour before kick.
I'm not thrilled that LAFC could not get it done against Lyon. To be honest with you, that makes me even a little queasier. I wanted to see LAFC win Champions League and maybe be a little bit hungover coming into tonight. I think maybe they might be a little more determined because, quite frankly, they were badly outplayed over the two legs by Lyon. Yep. And LAFC is a very, very proud club with a lot of proud individuals, whether they be first choice guys or not, and a proud group of supporters as well. I'll be a little curious to know what the crowd's like tonight because this was supposed to be a Saturday match moved to Wednesday. As you know, Los Angeles notoriously late arriving crowds, especially on weeknights. So I think there were a lot of breaks that came into play for Atlanta United in getting this match moved to Wednesday that benefit Atlanta United, but how much of a benefit, I guess we'll find out.
Okay. So hold on one second. So what it looks like is in 5 minutes, a joint interview, will be published with Messi in Sport, which is the Barcelona paper I mentioned before, and Mundo Deportivo, which is another one based out of Barcelona. They're doing a joint interview with Messi, and it will be published in, I think, 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock Eastern time, noon where we are, Mike, and I think it's 9 o'clock over in Europe.
Well, good, because we have more questions on the Twitch pitch before that comes out. So
yeah, that should be coming. I don't think it's a video. It might be. No. It might be a video and a written piece, but the written piece is supposed to hit at 3.
Questions about summer transfer window and what positions Atlanta United might want to strengthen in that window and where you and I might go with that. I'll continue to say that I think, as I assess right now, you're going to have Ozzie Alonso coming back, so I don't worry as much about needing to get like a defensive midfielder. I think you're good at center back. I think you're good with your left and right back depth right now. Mm-hmm. Look, I know this is counter to the narrative. I feel pretty good about your depth in the midfield right now. Yeah. To me, obviously a winger because Araújo is gone. Almada definitely would hold a big key in what you do this summer if you need to get an attacking midfielder. And I still think, with all due respect to Miguel Berry and the golazo that he had on Wednesday last, you're still, I think, wanting to upgrade a backup striker unless you feel good that Eric Lopez is going to be coming back sooner rather than later. And I just don't know what the timetable is on Lopez. But those Lopez would be my positions of need.
Lopez, I think, is a couple weeks away. High ankle sprain. And those are difficult to come back for quickly. And it was awful timing for him. You're going to want to see what he can give you, I think, before you jump out on a backup striker. Because it's a backup striker, first off. I think Lopez can help the position. I think Barry getting a goal will definitely help his confidence. And he's contributed in other games as well. And he did in Orlando, and he played well mm-hmm. there. So that's two good games for him. Ozzie Alonso played 30 for the twos on Sunday. Wasn't the most intense 30 because Inter Miami at that time was already down to 10 men. Really good performance from the twos. Ozzie looked sharp on the ball. It was great to see him on the field. He could be in line for minutes as soon as Saturday. We'll just have to wait and see what that looks like. And again, you want to get him, you want to build up his confidence in both the physical side of his game and also, I think, the technical side of his game. And it just takes time. So you want him in this team to contribute in the second half of the season. And it looks like he will be able to contribute. If it's mostly his depth, then it's mostly his depth. And that's okay because he can contribute at the eight and the six positions, I think, in the midfield. Fullback, you're good. You're right on the wing. And I think the question you think about is, and you don't know where the tea leaves are going to fall on Thiago Almada just yet. I still love the idea of an attacker who can play wide but also play as a 10, and that's becoming more and more common where you see formations not be rigid like they used to be. Don't think of players as only one position and that's all they can play. There's very few who are like that anymore. Strikers are usually the ones, the outliers. Wingers can play on either side. A lot of times wingers can tuck inside or they can play as a wing back. You get a lot of variety in that. But you're going to need another attacking player with Luis Araújo going out. And do you get somebody who can tuck inside and maybe be an Almada replacement in a degree as well, but could play on the wing? And you got to remember, Luis Araújo and the way this team is built and the way they want to play is an inverted winger. He's coming inside anyway. So if you have a player who's comfortable playing in central channels, who can play on the wing and give you elements of that as well, that's a really good spot. I don't think you want a traditional right winger, because that's going to take away from Brooks Lennon's effectiveness going forward. Right. So I think you're looking for an attacking, multifaceted player who can impact games, create for others, but also get their own goals too. Not easy to come by the right player in that position, but you're going to have a designated player spot to work with. That's the number one thing. The other pieces would help bolster things. You've got to get that attacker to give you more, frankly, than Luis has given you this season.
All right. While we remain on messy interview watch, let's take this one from Sheba. She wants to know, in general, based on what we've seen from the coaching staff and the way the team has played, where do we think Atlanta United will end up at the end of the season if fully healthy?
I wish I could answer that, but it's impossible to, because the landscape has completely changed right now. When you have Jorge Mas, and this just tweeted a couple of minutes ago, a blacked out picture with a silhouette of a player in an Inter Miami kit, when you can see the 10 and you can see the three stripes and you can see an S and an I. That's really good work, by the way. I like the T's. Everything's changing. So, like, the idea of looking at these teams right now and saying, like, well, they could be fourth, they could be third, they could be second. I think they're a team that can compete in the Eastern Conference with the top teams. I think that Atlanta United will be a team that will expect to be a home playoff top four kind of a team. And I think they can, and I think they should be. But below them right now, and there's going to be a domino effect here. Miami's not going to be what Miami's been in the first half of the season. Toronto should be better if they can get all on the same page. You've got other teams that are going to spend, that are going to make corresponding moves. So it's way too early to set a bar and say, well, if they hit that or they don't hit that, it's success or failure. That is impossible with the landscape-changing move that is happening today. I'm not just going to say something to say it and give a hot take. I think Atlanta United should strive to be one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, period. And that shouldn't change with today's news, period.
Yeah, sure. I think you can make some general remarks that if they're healthy, yeah, of course they should be a playoff team. I mean, anything less than that, if they're healthy, would be a disaster. I mean, if they're healthy, they absolutely are a top half of the table team in this conference.
They're bigger than that. That's setting too low of a bar.
Well, okay. But my thought is that I don't want to demean the rest of the Eastern Conference.
No.
And I don't want to overlook the fact that you've got to play Cincinnati twice. You've got to play Philadelphia twice. You have to play Nashville again. You're going to have to play Orlando again. You're going to have to play Miami now again, you know, for whatever that's worth. So your schedule is, you have to play LAFC tonight in Seattle, both on the road. Like, so your schedule, you've got some tricky things coming up on your schedule. Christopher,
Mike,
correct. You have
Mike,
to play
hold,
at New
hold,
England again.
Hold that thought. I will hit that just to say that now it is 100% official. Wow. Lionel Messi has made a public statement that he is going to enter Miami. It is done.
I am
insane.
This is one of the all-time significant moments in Major League Soccer history, really in the history of the sport in our country.
I don't want to sound
hyperbolic, but this is just, I'm speechless, and you know that takes a lot for me to be speechless, Jason.
They've got to finalize the contract. Basically, it's like a pre-agreement is where they're at right now. He said that they're missing some things. He's decided to continue on the path. He's not going to Barcelona. He wasn't interested in going anywhere else. He wanted to make this move for his family as well. He did say about Barcelona, he really wanted, he was excited to be able to return, but after having experienced what I experienced and the exit I had, I did not want to be in the same situation again, waiting to see what was going to happen and leaving my future in hands from another. They haven't done the things that they needed to do. They can't guarantee anything. So he made the decision that he's going to Miami. He said, I still haven't closed at 100%, and it's down to final things in contracts. When we're talking about a contract like this, it's probably a little complicated.
Yeah,
he's going to go to Miami.
I think also you want to leave just that teeny bit of wiggle room to maintain whatever leverage you need to maintain. And also, quite frankly, as I said earlier, the league, the club, they need to make this an event when they make this a done deal.
This gives you the ability to do that. Yeah,
exactly right. And it will be just an absolute carnival. When it all goes down officially. But I mean, this is, I'm shocked. I did not think we'd be having this conversation in 2023. I thought maybe after the 2026 World Cup, we'd be having this conversation.
No, I said it a while ago, years ago, that when there was talk about Messi, and there were rumors before, there were rumors when he left Barcelona that, you know, it wasn't going to happen until after the 22 World Cup. And the first window where it could happen would be this one. I thought maybe the paradigm would change with what he did in Qatar in that tournament and the level that he's playing at, but it didn't. And Miami and the league, it sounds like, is putting together a deal that made it worthwhile for him to make this move. And he's not, like, if Barcelona had been able to do it, he would have went back there. He wasn't going to play anywhere else in Spain. He wasn't going to play anywhere else in France, for example. There's nobody in Italy or Germany who could give him what he should get financially and everything else. England, I don't think, was really ever a possibility. I would assume Chelsea picked up a phone. Maybe Manchester City picked up a phone, and that might have been a pull just because of the relationship with Pep and Messi, but I don't think there was really anywhere else in Europe that was interesting to him. And, you know, again, like, you can say what you want about the level of MLS. The competitiveness in the league is very attractive to somebody like Messi, who is one of the ultimate competitors. You know, everybody knows, like, the stories about Michael Jordan and his competitiveness. Lionel Messi's right there. He's that kind of a guy. You know, the stories about, you know, the tears after getting knocked out in 2010, and Diego Maradona, like, said, you know, as he was managing that team, that he was the only one who acted that way. He's just got a fire that's different. And this is going to be a different type of situation for him. But we've seen him step into the public eye more and more over the years. I think he's more comfortable doing that. He's not David Beckham in terms of going out to seek that attention and enjoying the celebrity and stuff. I think he's more comfortable with it now. And he's going to have to do some of that here in the U.S. And he's going to deal with that in some ways that are a little different than he has in his career. Not completely different, because he's a massive celebrity everywhere he goes, but it's going to have a different feel here. And there's also going to be some of the benefits of a little bit more anonymity at times, being in Miami. And it sounds like his family and his wife specifically really wanted that kind of a lifestyle that maybe they haven't had. So it's a fascinating move all the way around, but this was the window where the door would open up for MLS. And it sounds like this didn't just happen overnight. MLS has been putting things in place. Miami prepared to have the availability to be able to make a move like this. And to get it over the line, it's a credit to everybody involved, and it's going to be transformational for Major League Soccer, for everybody involved in it.
Yeah, the best player in the world's coming to MLS. I just tweeted it. I mean, simple as that. The best player in the world is going to play in Major League Soccer. And this year, it sounds like. It sounds like it's going to be sooner rather than later. Take a moment now. I know a lot of you on the Twitch pitch have been soccer zealots for a very, very long time. Jason, you as well. Think about if this day was even imaginable in 1990.
No. You didn't have a professional league that wasn't playing in high school stadiums in 1990.
Right. Right. I mean, think of how just completely absurd this notion would have been in 1990, that you would have a soon-to-be 30-team professional league in the United States routinely selling out stadiums in excess of 25,000 spectators, in certain markets selling out NFL stadiums, a league that has ascended to be the best league in the Confederation, from top to bottom, one of the best leagues from top to bottom in the world outside of maybe the big four or five. And now it's a league that's knocking on the door of being one of the big four or big five. And now the reigning World Cup Golden Ball recipient and the best player in the world still in his prime is going to play in that league for years to come. It's just absolutely amazing. I think it is an incredible opportunity for all 29 teams in this league, not just Inter-Miami. It's one that needs to be seized upon. And as I said at the top of the show, the league, strap up and let's have some serious discussions now about what we can do as a league to make sure that players are getting paid just compensation and that you give teams that are ambitious the runway and the wiggle room to be competitive in the world negotiation market. And it's a huge opportunity for the league. I think for those of us who have been with Atlanta United from day one, it's incredibly fun to think about the opportunity that Lionel Messi is going to play in Atlanta every year for the foreseeable future. It's incredible. And Messi's going to an Atlanta United rival to play with Joseph and probably Tata, and I'm not sure how I feel about that. But I'm going to put all that aside for a second because this is absolutely one of the most historic, if not the most historic moment in the history of this league. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I mean, the soccer in the United States at this kind of a level is still relatively young. You know, you're going back to 1967 when you had a nationwide league formed. It's not that long ago in the grand scheme of things. When you talk about Major League Baseball, you're going back to 1876. You know, I mean, 1967, okay. It didn't work. It almost died. It didn't die. And then they signed Pelé. And you got a hint, a little taste of what could happen if you had somebody like that. And it was magical for 3 years that he played here and maybe a couple more residual years. But like I said before, you didn't have the foundation to be able to continue to build on that. So that league died. Then you had a federation and people involved who went out and brought the World Cup to this country, which was insane to think about when that was announced in 1988. They did it. That World Cup sparked Major League Soccer. Major League Soccer does not happen if that World Cup doesn't come here. Literally, funds from that World Cup helped launch MLS. People who were involved in the World Cup had like a closet office, like literally a closet. That was what MLS started in during that time. You had to get a league off the ground. They did. They went and they got some guys like a Roberto Donadoni, like a Jorge Campos, like the U.S. players who had shined in that World Cup. They brought them back. Started with 10 teams. It was very modest. It took a long time to get past that. They went to 12, came back to 10. Then David Beckham showed up. That was a transformational day. This can be an even more transformational day than we saw with Pelé, than we saw with the World Cup coming, than we saw with Beckham, because of all those things that happened before. You're at a position now where you drive down the street, there's a very good chance you're going to see a soccer field. You're in a position now in Atlanta where you drive around a neighborhood, you're probably going to see an Atlanta United flag or a bumper sticker or a license tag. You're at a position now where even ESPN with bowing out of MLS, soccer highlights are on their top 10 every single day on SportsCenter. Things that were unthinkable not that long ago are just common now. And I mean, I have to pinch myself as somebody who, when I fell in love with the game, it was 86. It was Argentina. It was Diego Maradona. And I then wanted a team to follow, and I didn't have one because there wasn't a league in the United States. And in Atlanta, when I played, you know, as a kid, you didn't have a team until I was a senior in high school, and they played in a high school. They played in a high school stadium. That team folded multiple times during its run. So to go from that to now, where you're looking at a game later this year that I would assume the whole stadium would be open, and I would assume that you might have a new stadium attendance record for that game. To have something like that is just insane. And that's just the tip of the iceberg with this. That's the immediate stuff. The question that has to be asked in the MLS offices and in every club's offices right now They need to sit down seriously right now and think about, okay, this is going to be amazing for a year, two, three, however long he's here, however long he can play at this level through the World Cup. But what is the legacy of this? What changes everything going forward? Because when Pelé came, you didn't think about legacy at all. World Cup, they did think about legacy, and it created MLS. Beckham coming has had an absolute legacy. Inter Miami is a direct legacy of Beckham coming to this league to begin with. And now Messi comes. So what is the legacy going to be from this combined with the Copa America combined with a World Cup? What is the legacy going to be? MLS needs to have a plan for that. Every club needs to have a plan for that, because this is at another level than any of those previous moves. And it can just teleport this league to another level and the game in this country to another level.
All right. I am coming up on my heart out. I did not think we would go for this long, but I'm glad we did. Look, we know it's going to be late tonight, but crazy things happen with Five Stripes After Dark. We've told you that before. So we'll be on the air 10 o'clock on 92.9, the game in the Odyssey app with the Five Stripes Countdown. 10:39 Eastern time will be the kickoff time from BMO Stadium here in LA. And don't forget, again, Saturday, we're right back with you. 7 o'clock, pregame, 7:30 kickoff for Atlanta United and DC United. It's a lot of fun. I'll tell you what, I'll never forget where I was when we found out officially Lionel Messi was coming to Inter Miami. And if there is one big winner today, it's Inter Miami's kit sponsor.
Oh, yes.
I don't know what the heck an XBTQ or XBTO is, but man, oh, man, the Photoshops are already starting. So that was a good investment by whoever that company is. But again, we'll see you on the radio tonight, 10 o'clock Eastern time. Thank you for the great questions on the Twitch pitch today. This is a lot of fun. We'll see you again next week for another edition of Stoppage Time here on Facebook and Twitch with 92.9 The Game.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.